Well, good morning, everyone.
Was very thankful for those songs taking a lot of air. I needed somewhere for my jitters to go. So I was just finishing this morning after coming back from the trip yesterday. I didn't have a lot of time to study on the trip, but as I was finishing, and I was like, oh man, I need a better way to start this. And I was thinking, and I was like, Chihuahuas. And so I would like to tell a story of my friend back in Vermont. He's about, oh, I think he's probably 75 now, but he runs every day 5 miles every morning. And so one day he was out running and, he put on his shoes, his jacket, his hat, gloves, it's middle of winter, and goes out some jogs in the morning. And one day his neighbor's dog was out. It was, just a little dog. I don't know if it was exactly a chihuahua, but that size. And so he was just jogging along, and the dog starts running after him, tries to speed up and get away from it, and the little thing comes up and gets him right in the heel, right in the what's that tendon called? Achilles tendon, is that what it is? Or heel? Yeah. Anyways, gets him right there, and so he has to go to the hospital, get stitched up, and that little dog did a lot of damage on him. So then for the next couple months, he couldn't run every morning, and so he had to do exercises every morning and try to build up that muscle and that tendon again to be able to run again. And so he thought, how am I going to prevent this in the future? So he also went out and bought a compact 22 that he could run with. And so, in a little holster that he could tuck in the back of his shorts as he ran. And so, he built up the muscle. He jogged a little bit on the treadmill he has in his garage. And, he's like, all right, today I'm going out and I'm going to start running 5 miles again. And so he went out, he did his regular route, and he got to that house where the dog was, and the dog came out, and he just kept running, and the dog started following him, and he stopped, and the dog kept coming closer, and he just pulled out that gun and he shot at the ground right in front of the dog, and the dog just turned around and ran home. And he continued with his run, and the dog hasn't bothered him since. So I was gonna talk about how we should not be passive towards Satan and his temptations, but I think I need to lay down some groundwork before I do that. So we're all on the same page in the underlying things, but there's another problem. Like, I don't think I have enough time for all of that, but I'm going to do the best I can. And well, that's not the whole reason. I also didn't have a lot of time to study, so compacting it is difficult after not having a lot of time to study on it. So let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we can all gather here. We thank you for the beauty outside. We thank you for the armor that you have given us against Satan. Help us to remember to put it on each day. And Father, just help us to live life in context of eternity and your love. In the name of Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross for us. Amen. So I thought I'd start by examining how we think Satan works in our daily lives. I know in my daily life, I don't think of Satan's temptations very much at all. I normally think of it as, my flesh, my mind, and my failures, my flesh just dragging me down. And I've been convinced in recent weeks that this is probably where Satan would like me, believing that he only has his fingers in the truly evil things like Hitler and Stalin and I don't know who else, whoever else you think of as truly evil. Somewhere far off in the deep end of things. And believing that my sin is completely due to, or my falling into temptation is completely due to, my weakness and my lack of willpower and such things. But that keeps me from living in Christ's victory because that line of thinking has made me personally align my sin with myself. Like I've identified myself as part of my sin too much, maybe. It's a hard line to figure out, kind of. So if I say something kind of wonky, come up to me afterwards and correct my thinking. But I'm gonna try to just say it like it is because it's too hard trying to figure out all the right ways to say things up here on top of stage fright. So I hope y'all understand. Where am I? But yeah, that aligning myself with my sin has caused a lot of shame and doubt of my place as a Christian and a son of God, and has brought a lot of depression into my life. That's the wrong way to think, and I think that's a true according to some verses that I found. How many people memorized 1 John? Okay, I was gonna see if so. Everybody remembers 1 John 1:9, right? Yeah, I don't think I can remember it because I'm all everything I just said standing up here. But I was wondering if everybody would be willing to say it on the count of three together. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No, that's somewhere else. All right, let's say that again with some power. One, two, three. Just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Yeah, thank you, everyone. And I gave out some little tickets with some verses. I think, Daniel, you have the first one, Galatians 2:20 and 21. And then the next one will be 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 20, 6:19 and 20, and then 1 Peter 2:9.
I prove the light of Christ, nevertheless I live yet not on thinking. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came on the law, I tried to do any day.
Thank you. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20.
What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, ye are not your own? For ye are bought with Christ, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God.
1 Peter 2:9.
We are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, the holy nation.
And I'm going to read the last one, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So none of these things do not change when we are caught in temptation, and when we don't, or when we don't feel them to be true. They're still true. They're still true. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up seven times. Does every time he fall, you know, does that righteousness leave him for a second and then come back when he gets back up? I don't know if that's what that's saying, but I don't think so. He gets up seven times. You know, I was thinking about how much of an impact Satan has had, and you just look at all the stories in the Bible, and I wonder at myself and how I don't think of him as that powerful of an adversary, and he isn't so long as we have Christ, but I don't know. Some days he's not even on my mind. Like I'm just not even conscious of his temptations even possibly being there in my day. Do we not realize that the Satan of the Old Testament, the Satan from the story of Job, the Satan is the same Satan that tempts us today? The one who brought the Sabians to raid the oxen and the donkeys of Job, the one who brought fire down from heaven and burned up Job's sheep, the one who brought the Chaldeans to raid the camels of Job, and the one who brought the wind upon the four corners of the house that fell upon the children of Job. All of those things Satan did, and if I thought of him being that powerful, like, God gave him that ability, of course. But if I thought of Satan as someone that powerful, I would be much more conscious of him, and I'd be much more conscious of needing to put on God's armor every day and defending against that with, the sword that God has given me and the armor, the helm, the shoes of peace, belt of righteousness. I don't think Satan is the only thing that tempts us, but I'm coming to think that he's the primary tempter of us. We can say that it's our flesh or Satan, and I think that a lot of times in life it might be more helpful to say Satan. I'll continue. I'm gonna get tripped up. Yesterday I was trying to think of verses that talk about temptation and how that happens, and whether it's more our flesh or more Satan or what it is exactly. And I had a hard time trying to find things that would express something saying either way. And but I thought of James 1, 13 through 15. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So after reading that, I thought that the flesh must be the primary party responsible for our temptation. But then I was talking to Jordan and thinking about other places that mention temptation, and I thought of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Here we can see that God can actually regulate how much we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed, which was interesting, because that kind of says to me that it can't be all of our flesh, because I don't know if this is correct thinking, but I think of our flesh as like part of our will almost, and if God regulated our flesh, it would seem like he would be regulating our will. And we know from other places that he doesn't do that. But we know that from Job, God can regulate Satan and the things that he can do. We fight this battle every day. We fight this war every day, and from spiritual places. In spiritual places, Christ. One of the reasons Christ died was so that we could fight this war well. And ever since then, he's been winning, and we can't forget that. And he wants us to partake in the crushing of Satan's head. Get that compact 22. Store God's word in your mind. Maybe some of these verses that I mentioned, so that you can be empowered to stand against some of those temptations to succumb to shame and guilt and depression, and be convinced and fall into Satan's temptation to question your identity as Christ's son, Christ's brother, God's son. I don't know how you say all that, but that. So let's partake in victory in the strength of Christ. Thank you all very much for your attention.